Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
Can't help but want to sing, you know, that Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Excuse me. All right, let's listen for the scripture.
That one's on you, yeah.
I don't know. It's just been coming to me all day. Whenever I see this, I think about little children and singing. Let's listen for God's word. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be with the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
If you haven't experienced the divine heavenly flavors that come from taking orange juice and pouring it over your granola, you are simply missing one of the best treats ever given to us by God. That has been my morning ritual for years. And for years, my children have made fun of my morning ritual. They think Dad's lost it. But they just couldn't see. And for years, I tried to teach them how to see, and Ryan kept telling me how foolish I was. And one day, with glee, he sets his laptop in front of me as I'm eating my orange juice-covered granola and plays "Adam Ruins Everything." I almost wept. And Ryan said, "It's okay, Dad. Fresh orange juice would probably be better for you anyways, and look, now you can go buy a tool." All right. All of my life, I thought, just because the package said, "Not from concentrate," it was good for me. Just because I believed it didn't necessarily make it true. All of us are here today with beliefs that we've known all of our lives, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're true. We, at some point, start to lose our innocence and learn how to see the kingdom of heaven all around us. And we come to hear often that we have to wait till we die to experience heaven. Brenda has a story that she told me years and years ago. It's an amazing story, and it's one of those stories that just pops up every once in a while, and I ask her to tell me again. She was laying on the front porch swing of her house, a little bungalow with a big front porch in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, an evening, and the lights were on the porch, and it was dark, and she's laying in her aunt, which one of your aunts? Aunt Sherry's lap, and Aunt Sherry is stroking her hair. Sherry's 15 or 16 at the time, Brenda's 2 or 3, and she says, "Sherry, look at the angels." And Sherry says, "Where, Brenda?" "Everywhere." "Aunt Sherry, look, there's angels everywhere." "I can't see them, Brenda. There aren't any angels there." We tell our children that same thing over and over again. And by the time they hit 6 or 7, we've kind of numbed that sense of wonder and awe and mystery that God is all around us. The angels are everywhere. The kingdom of heaven is here. And then for the rest of our life, we have to learn how to see again, which is exactly why Jesus came to us, to teach us to see. The scripture that Rebecca read comes from the last section of the travel narrative in Luke's gospel. And this travel narrative is the last, well, it's chapter 9 through 18 in Luke's gospel, as Jesus resolutely sets his face towards Jerusalem in chapter 9, and he travels and teaches, and then finally arrives in Jerusalem in chapter 19. And in this last section, Jesus has been teaching up to this point, and now it's time to make this final journey. And Luke tells us that it's this time. It's time to leave Galilee. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the regions between Samaria and Galilee. This is chapter 17, verse 11. He entered a village. 10 lepers approached him. Now, this is a Samaritan village. Samaritans are the people that today we would say are our worst enemy. Fill in the blank to who your worst enemy is, and that's the Samaritans. And Jesus walks in, and 10 outcasts, the worst of the worst, the people that are refused access to any kind of community, the people who live at the edge of town, the lepers, come running up to Jesus. And they say, "Master, have mercy on us." Now, they don't know Jesus. Perhaps they've heard the stories about him. And Jesus says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, he's not talking about go and show yourself to the Jewish priests. He's saying, "Go and show yourself to your Samaritan priests." And they went, and they were made clean. And then one of them came back, praising Jesus. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And so Luke knows. Luke says, "And he was a Samaritan." Jesus continues on his walk, and he comes to a Jewish village now. And Jesus was asked by the Pharisees now. "Okay, Jesus, you talk about the kingdom of God all the time. Every time we see you, you're talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Well, why don't you tell us about when the kingdom of God will be here?" And Jesus says, "The kingdom of God comes with things that can be observed. Well, but no one will say, 'Look, see, there it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is in you and among you." Jesus continues walking. And as he's walking, he comes to another group of people that are challenging him on prayer. And Jesus offers them a parable. He says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But that tax collector, who knows about him?' And the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his chest, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' Jesus looks to the people and says, 'I tell you, this man went to his home today justified in the sight of God rather than the Pharisee. The one who thinks he can see can't. And the one nobody thinks can see does.'" And then Jesus continued on, and parents were bringing children and asking Jesus to bless the children. And the Pharisees said, "No, no," or the disciples said, no, "children aren't worth anything. We don't really want to hear the children. Children are meant to be seen and not heard. Keep them away from Jesus." And as you look around here today, you'll see all of the families that have brought their children, and it is a true joy. Thank you for bringing them here today. Because truly, Jesus says, "I tell you, Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs. They are the ones who can see. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God, as a little child will never enter it. Why? Because it's right here, and you can't see. And then a certain ruler comes to Jesus and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus doesn't answer that question. Jesus says, "You know the commandments." And the young man replied, "I have kept all of these since my youth." And Jesus says, "There is still one thing lacking. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have your treasure in relationships in heaven." Because that's what the kingdom of heaven is relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with people and with God through people. But when the man heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." Then Peter said, "Look, Jesus, we have left our homes to follow you. What about us?" And Jesus says, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not get back very much more in this life." And what will they get back? More relationships, more brothers, more sisters, more parents, more grandparents. And then, in the age to come, eternal life. Then Jesus took the 12 disciples aside and said, "I must go to Jerusalem now. I will suffer. They will beat and abuse me, and they will kill me." And the disciples just couldn't see. But they understood nothing about these things. And then as Jesus approached Jericho, where he's going to meet Zacchaeus, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. When he heard a crowd going by, he asked, "What's happening?" They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And the man shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." But those who were with him sternly ordered him to be quiet, for who would want to help someone such as this? And Jesus didn't go to the man. Jesus stopped, and he made the people that were keeping the blind man silent, he made them bring the blind man to him. And Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, let me see again." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he regained his sight and began following Jesus, glorifying him. And then Jesus comes into Jericho. And Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, who is very rich, he wants to see. He wants to see who this Jesus is. But he can't see because he's short and the crowds are tall. So he climbs a tree and Jesus comes to him and says, "Zacchaeus, hurry, come down. I must stay at your house today." And Zacchaeus, who wanted to see, had no idea he'd actually get to talk to Jesus. So excitedly, he invites Jesus into his home and within moments says, "Jesus, this is so incredible. Everything I have is now to be given away. I'm going to give half of it away to the poor. And if I have defrauded anybody, I will pay them back four times." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house. For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." Or we could say the Son of Man came to teach the lost how to see, how to give back, how to build relationships. Yesterday was one of those times of relationship building in this congregation. Our senior services team gathered a number of volunteers, and we took care of the yards and homes of several of the ladies in the congregation. We rototilled a garden. We replaced smoke detector batteries. One home I went to, all of the smoke detectors were on the table, four of them, because all of the batteries had died and the The lady got tired of listening to those detectors beep. We replaced that furnace filter, and then we ended up at Mary Mae Jones's house. And Mary Mae Jones, most of you know because a school was named after her. Well, the school was named after her because she poured her life into teaching. She gave everything to teaching. And not just the children, everybody she meets. I've worked at Mary Mae's house many times, and every time I'm there, it takes me half an hour just to get back outside, because if you go in, Mary Mae is going to teach you. And I wish I could write it all down, and I'm not that good at remembering things. So fortunately, one of the people who went with us yesterday wrote it down. After we finished cleaning Mary Mae's yard, she came out, and now we've been working for about 3 hours or so, and Mary Mae was so excited. She'd be inside teaching one of the seven-year-olds. One of the families brought their seven-year-old. As soon as Mary Mae saw that little boy, she grabbed him and she took him inside. And the entire time we were working, Mary Mae was entertaining him. And then when we were done, she came out and she talked and she talked and she talked. And it was just, when you're by yourself and you've got nobody to talk to, it just comes pouring out. The most important thing we do in senior services is not the work in the house. That's just an excuse to build a relationship. Fortunately, Michelle Coverdell, who was with us, remembers beautifully. And she remembered what Mary Mae was saying. And when she got home, she posted on Facebook what I'm about to read to you. Got to meet the phenomenal Mary Mae Jones today. Self-proclaimed school nut. Who over her distinguished career as an educator, starting at age 19 and finally retiring at 81, attended over 600 school board meetings. A few life lessons that Mary Mae shared with our group that visited her today. I don't understand people who go to work and then leave when it's time to go home. Always go above and beyond. As she has aged and people urged her to slow down, she said, I would just monitor and adjust. Through each new phase, staying true to my passions. You have to keep doing something you love, she said. She grew up in the Depression in the Arkansas Delta, the daughter of a sharecropper and one of seven children. She says it never felt like the Depression. They had a roof over their heads, food on the table, and they had each other. Most of all, we had each other. She wanted us to know that despite their modest circumstances, their life was happy, even if they were just making 80 cents a day hoeing cotton. Her father never learned to read, and he wouldn't know her name if he saw it written down, but she remembers him as a very intelligent man. Never stop learning, she says. She continued her education online, and at 94 taught herself how to do the taxes. She was very excited. She was waving the tax documents around in the house. I did it! I did it! She's feeling like she has earned many more degrees since she's retired than she did in all of her studies because she studies online. If she lived in Fayetteville, she would still be taking classes, she said. Her most recent accomplishment has been tackling the IRS, the income tax documents. Now, she said she spent 4 hours and 14 minutes on hold with the IRS, but she finally told them she wasn't going anywhere and that they'd better just answer her questions. And I guess they did. As we were driving away, Rich and I both remarked how she reminded us of our beloved Nell and how much we miss her. There are people you meet that you just know have got this life thing figured out. They radiate joy, love, peace, and wisdom, and above all, glow with Christ's love for everyone to see. You're drawn to them to hear the stories and share their love. What a great way to start the weekend. And then Michelle continues, you have to be pretty cool to have a catchphrase. So in Mary Mae's words, it's on the bench at the school. Have a good day every day and continue helping others, which, of course, are the words that she used as we left. Mary does have this life thing figured out because she pours her life into other people and always has. When I arrived yesterday, she said, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I just knew the church was going to take care of me again this year. Do you know this is the 55th anniversary of my membership of the church? Yep, on September 9th. 1962, we joined the church. Does anybody here remember the day you joined this church? The day? Come on, that's pouring your life into a community. That's taking God really seriously. That's taking the body of Christ really seriously. That's learning how to see the kingdom of God. And Mary May is living in the kingdom of God. She sees all around her, pouring her divine life into everyone she meets. Starting her career teaching in the Delta and the Depression. Two teachers in the school. And she said it was the most glorious thing. And then she taught the migrant workers' children. When they were in the field, she taught the children. She said it was just a glorious thing. Because she has learned to see the kingdom of heaven. And we are all called today to learn how to see. And we learn how to see by following Jesus. Jesus came to teach us the way. And the way we learn how to see is to pour our life out. To pour our life out in ministry, pour our life out in relationships. And Jesus is here today, and he's extending his hand and saying, will you give me everything? Will you give me everything? Will you give me everything? Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.